though. I like that. I love this.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod, birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And by Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty, their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at vortexoptics.com.
And by Broom, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at brome.com.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to our show number 978. We don't usually do poems here on Talking Birds, but we thought we'd make an exception because it's spring and this one is really short. We found it in a great publication called Bird News Items. It's by an English author named Eleanor Fargen. It's called March. A new day, a blue jay, a new beginning, one crow, melting snow, spring's winning. I like it. Thanks for being with us. 978 is the show, and if you took part in the great backyard bird count, we have some bigger numbers. The great backyard bird count from the Cornell Lab and National Audubon. If you did take part, you weren't alone. Results have been released for 2024, and they're impressive to say the least, including the fact, and especially maybe the fact, that more than 642,000 people from all over the world took part. Nearly 8,000 species of birds identified, almost 165,000 photos, videos, and sounds were collected and added to Cornell's Macaulay Library. And more than 313,000 checklists were submitted. The whole thing is a citizen science project, providing lots of data by which scientists can better understand and protect birds. And congrats to all who joined in. We're happy to say that audio postcards keep coming in here from listeners all over. And today it's one from Vern Johnson, checking in with some friends from the middle of the Golden State.
Hey, this is Vern in the Central California, Sierra Nevada foothills. There's about three California thrashers singing to each other. Lots of acorn woodpeckers, California quail, scrub jays. Great morning. Bye, Ray.
Bye-bye, Vern, and thanks for that audio postcard with those great birds. And we heard that California quail near the end there. Send us an audio postcard if you're looking at birds. Just grab your smartphone or other digital device, recording device, and just give a little 30-second or so or a minute description of what you're seeing. Send the file to ray@talkingbirds.com for your audio postcard. That's ray@talkingbirds.com, no G in talking. Speaking of that California quail, we have some good news about a bird that's part of the same order, and that would be the greater sage grouse. The news is that the Biden administration has proposed plans to save this bird whose population has declined dramatically because of habitat loss exacerbated by wildfires fueled by climate change. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, greater sage grouse populations declined about 80% since 1965, and then nearly 40% again since 2002. Not all conservation groups like this plan because it still allows for some oil and gas drilling and mining and other things. A whole bunch of alternatives within the effort are proposed and are now open for public comment. And anyone who'd like to make a comment can just do this. Go to the Bureau of Land Management website, which is blm.gov. That's blm.gov. Kind of hard to hear this bird. But we heard something there. That's our mystery bird. Preview of the contest here coming along later on in the show. And here are some details about that bird. It's a medium-sized perching bird. Its head is black with a usually hidden red or orange crown patch. Its back and wings are grayish-black. Its breast and belly are white, and it has a white band at the end of its black tail. Our bird, which breeds in open areas over most of North America and winters in South America, feeds mostly by flying out from an open perch to catch insects in flight. That's our mystery bird. We'll be looking for your calls in just a little bit on that, and we have beautiful prizes if you get the right answer or win the contest in a drawing from those calls coming in. Our prizes include a big bag of our favorite coffee, shade-grown, bird-friendly, truly delicious Birds and Beans coffee, grown under the natural forest canopy in Central America to preserve wintering habitat for warblers and tanagers and thrushes and hummingbirds and more of the birds that we love. Our other prize is a $25 gift certificate from Bird Collective. It's your one-stop shop for vintage-inspired apparel and unique accessories, all featuring birds. Prizes on our Mystery Bird Contest, the clues and the sound of the bird there, and the actual contest itself coming along in just a little bit. Among our favorite people are Talkin' Birds ambassadors. They are Talkin' Birds listeners who have, we like to say, stepped up to the next level, helping us do what we're trying to do, just get the word out about birds and birding and conservation. Robert Carter from Phoenix, Arizona, is the new Talkin' Birds ambassador. Thank you so much, Robert, and thanks for your kind comments about the show. He says, I feel inspired to get out there and do something for the birds and us humans. Thank you, Robert. We have a new goal in our ambassadors program. We're hoping to grow our ambassadors family to 875 members by the end of April. So we need 20 more folks to become ambassadors over the next few weeks. So Talkin' Birds listeners, please consider joining the ambassadors family and help us spread the word. Birds and conservation is what we're all about. So joining and participating are both really easy. You can sign up right now by clicking the Get Involved tab at the top of our website homepage, talkinbirds.com. Still to come today, speaking of conservation, we'll talk with a guest about an important project aimed at helping to save our planet from being even further overwhelmed by toxic plastic, especially single-use plastics. Our special guest is Madison Dennis from the Plastic Pollution Coalition. She'll join us from Bellingham, Washington. Also today, Mike O'Connor will join us from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, for Let's Ask Mike live on the topic of red-headed woodpeckers. And up next, a stealthy, spear-wielding, submarining swimmer is today's featured feathered friend. The scientific name of today's featured feathered friend is pretty easy to remember. The bird is the anhinga, and its scientific name is Anhinga anhinga. I think we've got it. The anhinga is a large water bird with a long neck, long olive-brown dagger-like bill, red eyes, and a long broad tail that gives it the nickname water turkey. The male is a greenish-tinged black overall, with silver-gray plumage on its back and forewings. The female has a pale brown breast and neck. We heard an anhinga on last week's show, thanks to an audio postcard from Carrie McLaury, checking in from the Circle B Bar Reserve Nature Center in Lakeland, Florida. To see an anhinga is a unique experience when it's swimming, as only its head and long, slender neck are usually visible above the water's surface, earning it another nickname, Snake Bird. Like cormorants, anhingas are often seen perched with wings outstretched to dry their feathers due to the fact that, like cormorants and unlike most other water birds, the anhinga lacks oil glands for waterproofing its feathers. The anhinga breeds near Atlantic and Gulf coasts up into Arkansas and the Carolinas, almost always in shallow freshwater habitats, and feeds by swimming slowly underwater, stalking fish around submerged vegetation, and spearing them with a rapid bill thrust. Because anhingas are uncommon throughout their range and occupy areas that are hard to reach, it's difficult to determine an accurate population estimate, although the North American Breeding Bird Survey reports that anhinga numbers increased by nearly 2% between 1966 and 2019. Potential threats, not surprisingly, include the reduction of available habitat through wetland development and the tangling hazards presented by discarded fishing lines. Today's Talking Birds featured feathered friend, the anhinga. Welcome again to our show, number 978. Madison Dennis is a project manager for Plastic Pollution Coalition, leading the Filtered, Not Bottled campaign and the Global Plastic Law Database and Resource Center. She has over 5 years of experience in environmental advocacy and communications and has led campaigns across the local, federal, and international levels to reduce single-use plastics and its toxic impacts, protect marine wildlife, bolster clean energy, and expand digital equity. And she joins us now to tell us about the campaign, Filtered, Not Bottled. Good morning, Madison.
Hello, thanks for having me, Ray.
You're more than welcome, and we are thrilled to know about the work you're doing. I want to ask you about the Filtered, Not Bottled campaign, but first, I wonder if you'd give us an overview of Plastic Pollution Coalition, what it is, and who's involved.
The Plastic Pollution Coalition started 15 years ago as a coalition of scientists and artists, businesses, and nonprofits, really advocating for plastic pollution to be called what it is. Mm-hmm. Originally, it was called marine debris, and it's really hard to solve a problem if you're not naming it. So that's how we got our start, and 15 years later, we've now become a big nonprofit that works in communications and advocacy, and we're collaborating across an expansive global network with businesses and nonprofits to reduce plastic pollution and its toxic impacts.
Well, I know you have a lot of partners in the campaign, many conservation advocacy groups, but what about the businesses? How do they fit in?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have a coalition, as you said, that's nonprofits and businesses, and a lot of the businesses are actually putting into place the policies, the materials, the different practices that reduce single-use plastics. So whether that be reuse and refill shops, for example, where you're bringing a stainless steel or glass container and just refilling what you already have. Or we also have businesses that are working in new technologies that can reduce plastic. So, for example, companies that use mushrooms, actually, for packaging, mm-hmm. or seaweed. And that provides a way to still do the services and provide the products that we've come to rely on, but doing it without plastics and especially single-use plastics.
And when I see news reports from disaster zones where folks don't have access to clean water, I always have two reactions. One is that it's great that they're getting that essential hydration. The other is to cringe at the sight of thousands of single-use plastic bottles that are being delivered, so many of which will end up in landfills or in our waterways. Can we say that this is where the Filtered, Not Bottled campaign comes into the picture?
Yes, definitely. Historically, when there has been a climate disaster or an infrastructure disaster or even just water deserts that don't provide clean or safe water for communities, often single-use plastic water bottles have been the solution. Mm-hmm. And while this can be a technology when, for example, water contaminants haven't been identified and you need to ensure a quick water source, because again, hydration is of the utmost importance, single-use bottles can have a role there. However, with many of the disasters that we see today where we have identified the issue with the water, there is a much more sustainable solution with filters that can be reused for years. And can be a lot safer, actually, by reducing exposure to some of the microplastics and chemicals that are actually released from the single-use bottles themselves. Mm-hmm. So that was really the genesis of this campaign, and we saw a huge opportunity in the U.S. lead service line replacement. Lead in the water is extremely toxic for individuals and especially for children. And this has been an issue in the U.S. for decades now. And while there's been new momentum around actually replacing those lead pipes and removing the source, it will still be many years. And we need to ensure communities have a safe water source in the meantime. And so that's where filters can really serve as a solution that'll stop hundreds of billions of plastic water bottles being sent to communities while providing an immediate clean water source that gets the lead out, as that is of the utmost importance.
Well, it sounds like a big challenge in terms of getting filters out there. How does it work, and can it be practical?
So cities have actually already done it, which is great. So we know that it can be done on a large scale. For example, Denver knew that they had lead pipes, and they actually proactively distributed pitcher filters to houses that they had identified as likely having lead pipes. And so the water systems are actually purchasing the filters using state or federal funding, distributing it to communities. And then they also worked with local advocates and community groups to provide the education on how to use the filter, why it's actually a safe solution, how to maintain it, replacing your filter to ensure safe water. So that was a big part of it because, as I mentioned, water bottles have typically been the solution. So you can't just send out filters. You need to provide the education that builds trust. Because again, these are like, if you're a parent and you have children, you're going to choose the best solution you can find, the one that you trust to protect your kids. So it's really about working with the water systems to do that. And now we're working on the federal scale to actually have this be implemented as a process across the country. So working with the EPA to ask them to include filter requirements where water systems will purchase and distribute these filters so that families have a safe water source.
Well, everybody listening to this episode of our show on or before March 28th can take advantage of a webinar you'll be producing about the Filtered, Not Bottled campaign on the 28th. Madison, tell us about that webinar, if you would, and how folks can attend.
Yes, yeah, so on March 28th, as Ray mentioned, we'll be having our webinar, Filtered Water, Preventing Billions of Plastic Bottles from Flooding U.S. Communities. And I will be moderating the panel. And I will be joined by Deandra Cameron from New Jersey Future, Dr. Sherry Mason, an associate research professor and director of sustainability at Penn State, and John Rumpler, the Clean Water and Get the Lead Out director with Environment America. And we'll be having a conversation on how we can implement this solution and how it can actually stop not only lead pollution, but also plastic pollution in the water. And as far as joining, we'd love to have you there. You can go onto our website, plasticpollutioncoalition.org, and on our webinar page, it's the first webinar, you can sign up there, and I can also share the link to register, and we'd love to see you there.
All right, March 28th, and the day of the week, again, I should have written it down here.
No worries, it's Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific time or 5 p.m. Eastern, but if you can't join live, if you register for the webinar, we will actually send you the recorded webinar afterwards, so you can still access all the great information.
Wonderful. Madison Dennis is a project manager for Plastic Pollution Coalition, leading, among other things, the Filtered, Not Bottled campaign. We look forward to the webinar, Madison, and to following your continued good work going forward. And thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. Hope to see you at the webinar.
Madison Dennis here on Talking Birds. And just in case you missed it, that website she mentioned is plasticpollution.org. Why do I think that is not correct? I just wrote that down. I'm going to have to check that to make sure about that for that very special webinar. So before the end of the show, I will check that and make sure we have the right address. Meanwhile, I think we're back to the Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
The flutter of a tail feather, the flash of a wing bar in mid-flight. You don't always have a lot of time to identify a bird in nature, let alone to appreciate its beauty. But with Vortex Optics, you'll have the power to bring every wild moment closer. When you choose Vortex, you're choosing to have a partner in the field as passionate about nature as you are. Whether you're spotting old friends on the backyard feeder or packing for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to add a few species to your life list, Vortex offers a full range of optics and optics accessories for every birder and every budget. And whether the birds are taking you to another state or another country, you're always covered by the Vortex VIP warranty, an unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. If you'd like to learn more, or if you need help choosing your next optic, give Vortex a call at 1-800-4-VORTEX or visit vortexoptics.com.
Just before we get to the mystery bird contest, we've checked that address. I gave it incorrectly just so I could have a chance to give it again correctly so we'd really notice it. It's plasticpollutioncoalition.org. Plasticpollutioncoalition.org. Just look for the webinar link or the webinar tab at that website. All right, mystery bird, there it is. Sounds pretty quiet, but it's a very feisty bird. A medium-sized perching bird, its head is black with a usually hidden red or orange crown patch. Its back and wings are grayish-black. Its breast and belly are white, and it has a white band at the end of its black tail. Our bird breeds in open areas over most of North America and winters in South America, and feeds mostly by flying out from an open perch to catch insects in flight. That's our bird, and beautiful prizes await from Birds and Beans Coffee, our favorite coffee, shade-grown, bird-friendly, and truly delicious. And some beautiful stuff from our friends at Bird Collective, birdcollective.com, and it's a $25 gift certificate, vintage-inspired apparel and unique accessories, all featuring birds. Give us a call as soon as you can. Give us your answer or take a guess. You could get the prizes, even if your guess is not quite correct, if we have a drawing to determine the winner. 781-837-4900 is the number. That's 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, it's Let's Ask Mike live in just 1 minute.
Welcome to a world where bird feeding is enjoyable for both you and your feathered friends. Introducing Squirrel Buster Bird Feeders by Brome. Our innovative feeders are designed to keep squirrels at bay, ensuring that your garden birds get their fair share. And the best part? We offer lifetime care for every feeder, making your purchase worry-free. Transform your garden into a bird paradise and keep it that way forever. Sorry, squirrels. It's just for the birds this time. Visit brome.com, B-R-O-M-E.com, to discover our full range of Squirrel Buster feeders and join the Brome family today. Brome, where birds come first and our commitment to you lasts a lifetime.
Let's turn the mic on. Okay. And now to dispel the myth that all woodpeckers with red on their head are red-headed woodpeckers is our own Mike O'Connor. Good morning, Mike.
Still working on getting Mike on the
okay,
line.
Okay, yeah.
One second.
Right. So we got the mic, but we don't have Mike. I see how that goes. So, but we did get the mic on, and now we're going to get Mike on, if you know what I'm saying. So we'll have him here in just a moment. I should mention, by the way, while I have a moment here, that speaking of woodpeckers, our guest on next week's show will be Kevin McGowan from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. And he'll be talking about woodpeckers, and specifically another of his amazing courses that he leads, and this one is about woodpeckers, all species of woodpeckers. Kevin is an amazing instructor with those courses from the famous Cornell Lab, and he'll be here to tell us about that woodpeckers course on next week's show, and we'll ask him about some of his other courses as well, because there are many, and they really are terrific. All right, we're trying to get to Mike here, and I'm sure we'll do it sometime before the show has even ended. Then we'll get back to our mystery bird contest. And I can give you that number here. Again, it's 781-837-4900. I'm not sure why we're not connecting with Mike, but we will figure that out. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. Oh, I see a signal. I see a signal. I'm getting a signal of something like, wait 1 second. Wait 1 second. We're almost there. What is the phone ringing or what is happening there? I wonder if are we calling the right number?
We are. It's just the phone lines are across. So I'm just waiting on Mike to call in right now.
Okay. Mike is going to call in to us. We're going to have a bonus question if we have time here. But by the way, things are going at this point. That doesn't seem entirely likely. But we'll see what happens here if we can get a hold of Mike. And I think we've got him. The Mike and now Mike. That is to say, are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm at a payphone at the bus station.
Well, we don't have time for you to say anything, but I just wanted to say hello and how are you? Not all woodpeckers with red on their head are red-headed woodpeckers, though, even though people want to say so. Is that kind of the gist of it?
Yeah, that will do this really quickly. Yeah, North America has over 20 species of woodpeckers, and all but two of them have red on the back of their head. So whenever a newbie or a young birder or, just someone sees a woodpecker and they see the red on the head, you know, without putting much effort into it, they just assume it's a red-headed woodpecker, and then they come in and tell me, and that's a rare bird in our area, so I tell them they don't have it, and when I tell them that, they get mad, but that's the way it goes with me just about every day. So the red-headed woodpecker is basically a black and white bird. It's like a penguin. It's half black, half white, but the red that on the head is totally 100% red from the call all the way up, wraps around the top of the head to the back to the sides. It's like a red helmet. There's no degree, no variation. It's red, red, red. All the other ones have in between either a patch or half red. And that's how you tell the difference. I know we're out of time, but the thing I want to mention, your friend Stephanie Ellis was in yesterday talking about problems birds are having, and one of the things they're having people do when they have some people have insects on their trees they don't like cankerworms or lanternflies, gypsy moths, and then they wrap the trees in this sticky material to stop the bugs from spreading, which seems like a good idea to stop the bugs, but it's not because the birds are attracted to the bugs, and especially woodpeckers, red-headed woodpeckers, brown creepers, and red and bread, all the nuthatches go after them, and then they get trapped on this tape. So all the other stuff I was going to say is, don't worry about it, but that's important. So don't wrap your trees in anything that's sticky or tacky because we're losing birds because of that. And the birds like the bugs, and so don't suck.
Yeah, let the birds handle it there.
Let the birds handle it.
Exactly. Oh, I've got a red-headed woodpecker out here. It's got a little red spot on the back of its head. Talk to you next week, Mike.
Okay, see you later.
All right. Mike O'Connor from the famous Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod. And now we are back to the Mystery Bird Contest at 781-837-4900. A medium-sized and feisty perching bird. We got to be pretty quick here. Joe is somewhere in Connecticut. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Ray.
Good morning. You heard the clues maybe in the sound and all that. What's that bird?
I'm going to go with Eastern Kingbird.
That's a good thing to go with there. The Eastern Kingbird. Absolutely right. That is a feisty little bird. It'll go after any bird of any size, hawks, crows, it doesn't care. Eastern Kingbird. Joe, stay on the line, and we'll get your info and send you those prizes.
Thanks, Ray.
All right. Thank you, Joe, in Connecticut, correctly identifying the Eastern Kingbird. As we mentioned, the Cornell Labs' Kevin McGowan will be here with us next week. Some more woodpecker talk and news about his new woodpecker course. Thanks to our amazing Talkin' Birds team, Debbie Bleacher, Frey McGregor, and our producing engineer, Jesse Wilkins. I'm Ray Brown. See you next week.
The Bird Show. I like that. I love it.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod, birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And by Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty. Their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at vortexoptics.com.
And by Broom, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at brome.com.